getting very bare by the time I'd gone. And to look at them, you'd think, oh, you'd never use all that linen, you know.
But this, of course, would be all material belonging to Government House itself.
Yes, yes, this belongs to Government House. Madam does have some of her own linen, but we don't use it very much. And Mrs. Perks prefers dinner mats to tablecloth for formal dinners.
This would be helpful, I would think.
Always makes a big difference. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And on that beautiful table, it's very effective too.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous room.
It's a beautiful table, and with the dark wood and the silver candelabras and the silver bowls and flowers, you know, I think the white mats are very effective. Yeah. We have some really beautiful mats.
Yes. I've had several lunches there and one or two dinners there, and it's
it looks lovely.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, and gorgeous. And I think perhaps some people feel that the tablecloth is more formal, but I think perhaps it was years ago, but I think beautiful mats are just as formal now.
I think so.
You don't have that horrible tablecloth dripping over your knees all the time.
Yes, and knowing that for one or two spots here, it means the whole thing.
Well, this is the whole thing, and it's so hard on the linen.
Yeah.
Whereas if you get a mat, a spot on a mat, well, it's only a small thing.
Yeah.
This, I think, is where Mrs. Perks is so very practical. She never stints where it will spoil the effect, but where you can be practical as well as artistic, she does consider all these aspects. Of course, she's a thoroughly experienced housewife.
Well, heaven, she's been at it, of course, for a long time. I mean, in his previous positions as a brigadier and as a general and as a minister and whatnot.
Meeting
people would be
so
natural.
Yes, and she puts people at their ease so quickly. They were over at a little centennial ceremony on Pender Island where I live. One Saturday afternoon, and it was held out in the garden of this place. They were giving spoons to the children and centennial badges or something to the people that had been there over 75 years. And, you know, in no time she had people, so she was giving the children the spoons. And, you know, she didn't just hand the spoon. One little boy, I remember, she poked it in his pocket and she said, "There you are, you know." She's quite a remarkable. I wouldn't like to have to try and write a profile of Mrs. Perks. One woman did do one, but it was really, you know, it wasn't. It wasn't Mrs. Perks really. And I believe someone wrote her life up one time, but she said it was rather sugary, which of course she wouldn't be able to stand at all. But she has so many different facets that I wouldn't like to.
Would you call her a religious woman? I would call him religious. I do think he is.
I think they're both deeply religious. But I wouldn't say they made a parade of being religious.
Oh no.
I think they have a very deep and sincere religious belief, both of them.
I knew he did, but I wasn't too sure about
it. Well, it's their way of life. As I remarked to some of the girls here, you know, they were very wondering who would come in and what they'd be like and all this sort of thing. And I said to them, well, you know, you would go a long way before you would find an atmosphere to feel like there is in this house. You would never, ever hear slang, much less a swear word, in this place. And His Honour and Madam are so deeply devoted to one another. And this isn't just a show. This is very genuine. And there's never any friction. Now, if you were working in a place like this where there might be some drinking going on and this sort of thing, it could be very unpleasant.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere stems from, I'm quite sure, their devotion to one another, and this is a very deep and sincere thing. And Madam's life is completely at His Honour's disposal.
Mm-hmm.
She never does anything that's likely to put her in a position where she's not completely at His call if He wants her. And in that way, I would say that they live a very, a very good life in every sense of the word. People, guests that come here, you never have any excessive drinking to put up with or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is because of the example that's set. Actually, we don't have anyone but you come here that smokes.
Good heavens, is that right? Is that right?
Well, His Honour doesn't smoke.
No, he used to, I know.
Commander Dixon doesn't smoke.
No.
And our new controller doesn't smoke. So we don't have to go around, and Madam doesn't smoke.
Mm.
So we don't have to go around checking ashtrays.
When you know that there's ashtray here, you know what that I'm...
Well, now, I'll tell you a funny instance concerning His Honour and you. When we had the English woman here's housemaid, it's her duty to go in and check His Honour's office for glasses and that sort of thing, you see. And she went in after you had gone because he sort of... he doesn't mind people smoking around him, of course. He's quite used to it. But once there's no one smoking, he seems to notice the smoke.
Oh, yes.
So we always go in and empty any ashtrays. As soon as there's anything's finished in the drawing room, we go in and take the ashtrays out. So Edith May went in to empty your ashtray, and here's His Honour hanging out the window, emptying it out onto the garden.
Oh, dear, 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 dear.
And she said, ooh. She said, I often wondered where those cigarette butts went.
Oh, heavens.
But he just tips them out the window onto the garden. Yeah. I don't know whether the supervisor of grounds would be pleased about this. But he does this, and when there's a dinner party finished, and here again, I stay up. This is another one of my little chores. I stay up until the dinner party's over, and I take the ashtrays out and any odd glasses that might be left in the drawing room, wipe the tables down, and generally bring the place back to order.
Mm-hmm.
And he will always help to take the ashtrays out and go around turning lights out and, until he sees that practically everything's finished, and then he'll go off to bed. But
I suppose so.
Oh, yes, he's really a wonderful person like that. No matter how tired he is, he seems to always realise that other people are tired too.
Yeah. Good heavens.
It was very funny, the first garden party I was here for, and we put little ashtrays out on the tables outside, you see, and he was walking around helping to empty the ashtrays. He was emptying all the cigarette butts around a little tree out on the lawn. And I said to him, do you think Mr. Butterworth would approve of that, Your Honour? And he said, he won't know. The first rain will all be washed into the ground. And talking of a thing like that, Madam, she's very subtle sometimes. I came back, I go home for weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back, and she said to me, this is only a couple of weekends ago, she said, I put the candelabras down on the table. She said, I think it looks a little bare. And I thought, oh, yes, I think it looks very nice with the man. And I said, I would keep big bowls of flowers on that table if I always had enough, because I do think it looks best. And she said, I hope you didn't mind. And I said, oh, no, madam, feel free any time you feel like. He just laughed.
But then she would be the type of person that you could say that to, and she would take
she
it.
She is, you know, because she was being... I hope you didn't mind that twinkle in her eye, you know. And I said, oh, no, feel free any time.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Well, something else happened the other day, and she said one of the girls wouldn't approve of it. I said, oh, no, madam, there is a limit. Oh, yes, she's really her sense of humour, you know.
I'm very keen. I've noticed this a long time.
And she says it with such a deadpan face, you know, if you didn't see the twinkle in her eye.
Yeah, true.
Of course, on the other hand, she can, if anything goes wrong, and Mrs. Perks, I have never heard her speak sharply to anyone, but she can give a person a little break in a very quiet way that is very telling. I smiled the other day. She asked Frank, the chauffeur, to bring her knitting bag up. She'd left it down in the small car or the big car, and she wanted to take it in the small car, and he evidently was taking his car out somewhere, so he drove up and gave her the knitting bag. And she said that, "Oh, I'm sorry, it was so heavy."
Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely.
But if anything goes wrong, and things do go wrong, serving dinners, we have a crowd of girls come in, you know, and they're very experienced, mostly. But when you get 12 girls serving a meal, there's sure to be small things go wrong. And Mrs. Perks would never let it be seen that there's anything wrong at all. One day, one of the girls was serving the Premier's wife's dessert, Mrs. Bennett's dessert. She brushed the cherry off the top of it or something, I forget what. And, but Madam just very quickly changed around over the second. There was nothing said, but she will come out afterwards and she'll say, "That was very nice, but, you know, just the small things pointed out. I think perhaps we could do so, you know." But never, you know, I could honestly say, and I'm not trying to paint Madam with a halo, I think this is silly. We all have our moments. But I have never heard her be rude to anyone in the smallest degree, nor His Honour. And I think this goes a long way.
Oh, yes.
With staff.
Yes. Here, here. We were talking about some of the humorous things that have happened. Have there been anything while you've been here in the last year of a tragic nature?
No, not really. It was it was rather sad when Princess Grace didn't come. I think we all felt, and Mrs. Perks was quite upset about that. She was really looking forward to having the family.
Yeah.
And we were half hoping the children wouldn't come, of course, because children are quite a, especially children like that with nannies and that. But apart from that, no, I think it was a very happy year. And
I was wondering, for example, about His Honour's brother, as you know, is dying.
He died.
He did, didn't
he? Yes, he died. He died while His Honour was in Ottawa.
Oh, well, well, well.
But that occurred. He actually had his accident before I came here. And I've no doubt that this has been a weight on His Honour.
Yeah.
But we have never been aware of it. And I think when he did die, it was His Honour had been down to visit him, you know, just before, I think it was about 2 weeks, perhaps not that long before. And I think it was a relief. He'd seen the state he was in, and I think this was a relief. But but here again, I think there are people that don't make a lot of fuss about this kind of thing. Madam lost a little girl, you know. They had a little daughter, and she lost her. Well, I've heard Madam speak about her.
And is that right? Now, I wonder if she ever had.
Oh, yes. Yes, she'll speak about her little girl.
Yeah. She was a pretty little thing.
Yes, and she was quite young when she died, I think 8 or something.
Around there, somewhere between 8 and 10.
But she never says, she never puts a long face on when she speaks about her. And that, of course, it's many years ago, but still you never do get over losing a child.
Yeah.
But no, she's not a. There's no self pity about them, either of them. But as far as their life here is concerned, I think everyone is so fond of them. I really do. That you know, they don't have any. I think they would have less backbiting and that sort of thing than a lot of people in this position because they're so.
Yeah, so free and so open.
Well, they're so natural, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone would ever scratch under the surface and find something different there.
I've often thought, heaven help the person who takes over from them.
Mrs. Perk's son's mother-in-law, Mrs. Cope, I think her name is, she was staying here with us for a while, and she's from Ottawa. I think her husband was a banker in Ottawa. And she said that. She said, my word, it'll be awfully hard for them to mm-hmm. be replaced. But, of course, you always get this, don't you, when you have a change of people. Mm-hmm. People, I know when I came here, I was continually being quoted what Mrs. So-and-so, who was here in my position before, did. Mm-hmm. And I've no doubt when I'm going away for 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and I've no doubt while I'm away, this other poor woman who was taking my place will be told what Mrs. Abelson did.
But are you going back to Australia?
Yes.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, I'm going for 3 months to visit my family and his honour and madam very kindly. Yeah. I said I'd resign or take leave of absence, whichever they preferred. And they very kindly said take leave of absence. And I know that this causes a little upset for them. You know, madam sort of has to get used to someone new. But they were very kind, and his honour and madam both signed a letter to the Public Works Department to the effect that they would prefer that I took absence. So I thought this was awfully kind of them.
Yeah.
But they are considerate, and they're most considerate of the staff. In fact, I think they're too considerate. I think they spoil them, you know. They make things very easy when they're here on their own. But here again, this is the amazing thing, that when we have company and have guests, there's no lack of discipline and that sort of thing. You know, as I say, madam has a way of putting a person in their place very nicely, but very effectively. And talking about funny incidents, we were very, of course, setting the table, as you can imagine, is quite a thing. And another one of my tasks here, which I don't think anyone ever appreciates, and which is quite a task, is getting the tablecloths on the table for big functions. Because now for the levy on New Year's Day, we have a bar 75 feet long. And, maybe it's only 50, but the garden party ones, there's one 100 feet long and one 80 feet long. And the longest tablecloth we have is 6 yards, so that you have to get 6 of those tablecloths absolutely even along the bottom, and the iron folds even.
Oh my word.
And all together, and then we put some plastic over the top in case any a tablecloth sort of plastic, so it's not too noticeable, in case there's anything spilt and it can be wiped up rather than have this horrible messy wet tablecloth. Well, that's got to be, and that, believe you me, it takes ages to do. But so when we were setting a table for a formal dinner, madam always comes in and looks at the flowers and the arrangement, and you have to get everything absolutely in line. And she was down at one end of the table and I was at the other end, and we were sort of squaring everything up. And when we'd finished, I said to her, I wonder, does anyone ever notice or realize the trouble that we go to for this? And she gave me such a little knowing look, and she said, believe me, they do. As
is
much as
right?
These women.
lovely. Lovely.
Yes. She's a woman of, she knows her world very well.
Yeah. And they would, too.
This has never made them sort of, it's never made them hard, I don't think. It's never made them, being in politics, it's not an easy life. And as I say, they would be well aware of all the ramifications.
Oh, sure.
But this has never made them mistrustful of everybody or anything like that, you know. But Madam certainly knows her world. I don't think she'd be taken by anyone.
Very interesting.
It it is interesting. It's been most interesting, and I'm very pleased I came. I only intended to work for the summer when I came. I didn't enough when I came here, but I used to, my husband's a salmon fisherman, and I used to go up north with him, you see, up to Rivers Inlet. And I went for 3 years, the first 3 years I was in Canada, and then I found the water and the mountains, and they're pretty, you know, it's nice for an oldie, but it's pretty lonely. Yeah. We have a cabin up there, but there's no other women up there, and so I said to him, well, I don't think I'll go up this summer. This was 1966. And I said, I think I'll just see if I can get a job somewhere. Well, I'd only been matron of college and manageress of cafeteria, so I sort of didn't have too much general experience. And so I didn't know how to go about getting a position, so I went to the employment place in Victoria. And they told me about this and said, you know, if I was interested, was the type of thing that would possibly suit me. So I went home to my husband and I said, well, what do you think? And he said, well, would you like to try? And I said, well, yes, but I said, you realise that if I went there for the summer, I'd have to stay. It's not the sort of position you can take for 6 months and leave. And he said, well, if you're happy there, because he realised I was pretty homesick for my family. And so I came over and was interviewed by the controller and Mr. Budd, and I went home and my husband said, well, how did you get on? Oh, I said, you know, don't you ring me, I'll ring you. I said there were eight other women there and they were Canadians. And I said, I know, if I was choosing them, I'd choose a Canadian that I could check up on their references. I said, they check up on mine. Knowing them now, I think they might have run Australia. But anyway, he said, well, there's a phone message for you. And it was Captain Eel said to report at Government House the next day, so I had to trip back over here to meet Mrs. Perks. And she decided that she thought I would do, and so I started here the following Sunday, and I've been here ever since.
Well, lovely. I think we'll end there.